Good afternoon and welcome to For the Cause of Christ, the radio ministry of the North Coast Baptist Church of Lakewood. The church is under the direction of its pastor, John Lutz. Stay tuned for a message straight and direct from the Word of God. Here now with this week's message is Pastor John Lutz.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to our broadcast today. We're so thankful that you are with us. We've got another special broadcast planned for you today, and hopefully you'll be able to get involved in this broadcast as well, as we'll be opening the phone lines here in just a little bit. But it's always a joy to have Pastor Al Davis with us. Now, you know, it's amazing. You know, they always say that, you know, the problem with giving handouts to people is they always know where to come back to. And, you know, last week he was banging at the door saying, come on, man, let me in. And so I show up today and he's banging on the door. Come on, man, I want to get on again. So I thought, well, we'll let him back on again. So, Brother Al, thanks for being with here today.
Well, thank you, Brother Lutz. And, you know, that would probably sound better if it weren't for the fact that I fed you lunch this afternoon.
Yeah, that is true. I'll be back next week.
And we will, Lord willing. But I do have to point out something as well. I'm noticing that you have your usual blue sweater on.
Oh, you purposely wore red. Shirt. Yeah, I got you.
So we're taking sides. I'll take the red side today as we talk about the election, and you can champion the blue side.
Okay, I will speak for Biden, Jack. I'm allowed to change your name, right? Donald is now George, so Al is now Jack, and so I'll represent the left. So.
But, well, I'm just going to let you sit in for, you know, the evangelicals for Biden group over there.
Oh, gladly I will. And we're going to talk a little bit about that today. But we do want to let you get in on the conversation. Not only are we going to have this half-hour broadcast on our show, but Brother Now and I are going to combine with his show as well. So you'll be able to get involved in the conversation in the second half hour as well. But we do want to give out the phone numbers. Where you can give us a call at the local number is 216-901-0933, and that's 216-901-0933, or toll free at 888-677-9673, 888-677-9673. Now, where we're going to take the conversation today is we're not really sure where, but we know it's going to go somewhere, and we are going to try to, there's so much to talk about, but being this, you know, we were talking before as we were at lunch talking about really the evangelical side and the church side of it. And I think that's where we'll stay. Now, I want to invite you, if you do want to get involved in the conversation, maybe I was curious this week, Brother Al. I thought, I'm curious why somebody who would call themselves a Christian would vote for somebody like Biden. So I'm going to invite you to call and we will talk with you and try to find out, you know, why you've come to that conclusion and you know, maybe we can talk through some stuff. So we're hoping for that. But if you want to get involved again, give us a call. But I do want to talk about phone calls, Brother Al. This past week, last Friday after the broadcast, I was on a phone call. Actually, I don't know how many people were on the phone call because I couldn't see. But it was a phone call with the governor, Governor DeWine, and his secretary, his administrative assistant. He has a liaison, I guess, in the office that deals with faith groups. Of course, myself, but there were many other preachers on there, pastors, preachers, all kinds of things. But I had no idea. All I could see is my name and theirs. And so the governor had asked for a meeting with a lot of leaders, Church of God in Christ, a Baptist leader, some other non-denominationals. And basically what it was he wanted to express that we're heading into the third crisis with this COVID thing, and he's really looking to the churches. He's not saying that the problem is coming from churches, but he knows how instrumental churches are in the community, and they can really be used as an asset to help deal with what's going on. And so he spoke for a few moments, maybe about 5 minutes or so, maybe 10 minutes, and then he opened it up for questions, and you hit this little button, and your hand, it raises your hand. It's kind of, right. I'm not real familiar with it. Maybe Zoom does it or whatever. I don't even know what the program was we did. But anyway, so I was just going to listen and see until I thought, oh, I'm going to, you know, I had a few questions, but I was just going to wait and kind of feel it out. And so the first, they called the first guy, and boy, he jumps on it right away, and he gets involved. I mean, it was like it was like I was talking to a Democrat operative, basically,
mm-hmm.
and just going right down the list. Governor, we know that this this mask mandate, it's not going to work on a state level. We're going to need a federal mask mandate to get everybody in line. And I'm going, this is a preacher. Now, I don't know their names. I know they gave their names. I don't know where their churches were. But I can tell you it was a black preacher. I believe it was down in the Akron area, if I remember correctly, but I'm not for sure. And so he was talking, and man, he was just going down the bullet points. And I thought, okay, well, this is just one guy. This isn't necessarily a political battle between, we're talking to the governor. So he finishes up, and the governor's like, yeah, you know, thank you. And so the second guy gets on there. Again, another black preacher gets on there. And boy, he is eloquently speaking, boy. And he's talking about, he said this, Brother Allen, you'll know exactly what I'm referring to. He said this towards the end. He goes, Governor, let me ask you this question. He says, we found out last night, now this was, the debate was the night before.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, now we know, as we learned last night, Governor, we are heading into a very dark winter. And so what is it we can help and what do we need to do? Because we know where it's headed. And I thought to myself, right there, I hit my button to throw my hand up. I'm like, okay, all right, I see where this is going. And I never got a chance to ask anything, and neither did anybody else. I'm sure I wasn't the only one that was sitting there like, you have got to be kidding me. He had people on there from, actually he has some type of religious council, faith council or mm-hmm. something. Hey, right. Governor, yeah, I'm on your council. And I thought, boy, this is just horrible. There was five people that spoke. All five of them were in the tank for Biden and for leftism. One even advocated that stores need to be putting up signs saying that they've had COVID in that place, so everybody knows to be aware, basically, that COVID was in that place, and they can make their decision where they want to shop. And I thought, these are the ones that are leading our inner city communities. And they mm-hmm. are strict, yeah. them themselves are stricken with, it's either ignorance or arrogance. It's nowhere, there's nowhere in between. It's either they are completely ignorant of what's really going on, or they're just arrogantly moving forward, and they are hurting Christians, quote unquote Christians. I'm going to use that term generally today. I usually make a greater distinction between a believer and a Christian,
right,
but
we'll
use that for sake of argument. We'll do that.
In a generic sense.
In a generic sense. I mean, what great harm? I mean, we're supposed to be encouraging our people to go up against Goliath. We're supposed to be saying, listen, it's okay to go down into the valley. Nobody else wants to go. But God can send a little ruddy young boy in to defeat a big old giant.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the attitude. And you know what? David knew he totally trusted that God was going to deliver. But, you know, David had accepted the consequences of whatever happened. And I think a lot of people, you know, they don't really think about death, Brother Al, and yet they claim to be saved. They claim to be believers. Now, I'm not talking about not being prudent, not being cautious, being wise. I understand that. But the more information that comes out on this whole thing shows this is, it's so overblown.
Right.
We were talking about the tests. Maybe you want to share that, you know, situation with the whole test, because we had the same thing. My daughter tested positive. My son-in-law tested negative. They both had the same symptoms, live in the same house.
Mm-hmm.
And one gets told they have it and they don't have it. I mean, what's the reliabilities of these tests? And why are we as Christians so fearful?
Well, you're absolutely right. When you think about it, the virus is real. I mean,
absolutely.
People need to understand the virus is real. We're not here denying. We're
absolutely.
Not saying it's made up, that it's invented, that you know, it's a figment of people's imagination. They're just saying it's out there, but it's not really. It is real.
Yeah.
And there are people who have gotten it, and there are people who have died from it.
Yes.
I know some people who died either from or with it. I did a funeral for somebody. And so I know it's here. My wife is a nurse. She's worked with people and in facilities where they have these cases. So it is real. However, we now know overall that if you're in, if you're basically not elderly, especially if you're under the age of 70, I believe some of the latest things overall, your chance of dying from this disease is less than 1%.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
And if you are, you know, the younger you are, the less likely you are to get this and die. Most of the people who die from it, the CDC itself said only about 6% of the people that have died from the coronavirus. The others have all died with it, which means they had, according to the CDC, two or more comorbidities, which means they had heart disease, they had COPD, they had something else that was essentially going to kill them anyways. And when you look at the average age of death, the coronavirus has not really raised that or depressed that. It's remained about the same. People with coronavirus die about the same age range that people without it die. And so we know that the numbers are being massaged because just looking at a thing here that was on Channel 8 yesterday, Ohio coronavirus numbers, 2,607 new cases reported. Most people don't catch the word reported. That means they were reported on a particular day. Yeah. They might have been from a month ago or two months ago. They were just reported that day. What they don't tell you is the number of deaths very much, because the number of deaths is dropping. And if you look at graphs that show the number of deaths, it's going down tremendously. But there are people in government that and other positions that have a vested interest in keeping the panic up. And as we go into this election coming up on Tuesday, you know, there's a lot of fear on the part of some people.
So I guess, I mean, and I agree with that statement. So looking at the preachers that, you know, are on that phone call, I guess you can conclude that it's probably more out of ignorance than it is arrogance, because it doesn't do them any benefit to continue to keep the story going if they know that the numbers are being massaged and manipulated and those type of things. So, and their people are stricken with fear. And I guess, I don't know, I told our church, I feel more liberated now during this process of what we've gone through this year than ever before in my life. Like, and I'm trying to just live for the Lord, and hopefully our people will say, you know what? We don't need to cower. We don't need to stay within the walls. We don't need to do this, because we've already settled the issue of death. And I think that's, brother, that's,
oh, yeah, if you know where you're.
Yeah, that's one of the hardest things, though, is why are we, you know, what is the fear of? It's not the fear of getting the virus, for the most part. It's the effects of the virus, because we've heard people are dying and 200,000 people died. One of my questions I was going to ask the governor if I had an opportunity to was, why do we not give the recoveries and focus on the recovery? Because that's inspirational.
Yeah.
That is hopeful, right?
That's a good point.
And Paul said, you know, he was perplexed. Right. So perplexed, what does it mean? He didn't understand, we didn't know why. He says, but we did not despair. Now, what's despair? A total loss of hope. We have people that have a total loss of hope. There's people, they're not coming out of their homes. And I don't know if it'll be from a vaccine, or I don't even know if they'll come out then. So they're gonna live the rest of their existence in this fear bubble. And it's not healthy for them at all spiritually. Because it teaches them to cower. You know, I preached last night, or Wednesday, on Proverbs 24. If we faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. And that faint, you know, caught to drift away, to cower, to weaken, to crumble. And that's what's happening to a lot of our people. And it's so, as a pastor, you want to pick them up and carry them and say, come on, we're going to face this thing. I look back at my childhood growing up, and I wasn't saved until a little later, but one of the great things my dad did, I believe, was forced me to struggle through some things. And I think this is a big problem in our culture today, and I think a lot of Christians are this way. We got to fight through these things. Every time a problem has come up, you know, the parent gets right in front of the child, takes care of it. Maybe you didn't do this, but I hear people all the time. You ask their child a question, and the parent answers for them. And I'm like, no, I want to hear from them. Well, they're not as comfortable. That's right. I want them to be comfortable. They have to confront these issues.
Right.
You have to be confrontational. That just like we're watching our president. Okay. Yeah, he had the disease, and you know, he even says, well, maybe we can get it again. Maybe we can't get it again. I don't know. But we're not gonna. We can't hide in the basement like you, Joe. Right? I mean, that's what he said. That's actually what I was gonna start with. I said, like we heard last night, we can't stay in the basement. We got to come on out there. But that's it's troubling. And I thank God for all of the ones who are coming out. I mean, we're getting up around over the 50 mark again on Sunday morning, which has been such a blessing. It seems to be like every other week, though, so I haven't pegged out who's coming every other week. But we're seeing the numbers up. We're seeing the numbers down a little bit. But we're getting a steady base back there, which I think is imperative as we move mm-hmm. forward. Because if Joe Biden wins this election or is given this election, let me say it that way, it really shouldn't affect us, brother, right? I mean, great peace have they that love thy yes. law, and nothing shall offend them. It may mean there may be some more persecution on our churches and stuff, but if we're standing now when we're told in some places you can't meet, mm-hmm. but we're meeting, well, that's not going to change if Joe Biden gets in and probably get reinforced, but we're gonna continue to meet, you know?
Right.
And I think that's the fortitude that we must have for the benefit of everybody else. But you have to be willing to get the disease. You have to be willing to suffer. You have to be willing to sick. You might even have to be willing to say, hey, my death is settled. If God wants to take me home, then God's going to take me home.
Right.
But Jesus said, if we love this life more, mm-hmm. then we're going to lose our life, right?
Right.
Or you lose your liberty. I mean, you're stuck and put in a place there. So,
yeah, I was going to add, and you're talking about these pastors and why they're going along with it. You know, some of them, I think, are genuinely fearful. And I think some of them, they think that if they are, shall we say, favored by the government or whoever they believe is in power, that they will get benefits.
Yeah.
And they're looking to government rather than God to help them and to direct them. And I do believe we have a caller, if you want to get to a caller there.
Yeah.
But I'm just going to mention, God's not given us a spirit of fear.
Amen.
But of love, our power and love and a sound mind.
Amen.
And one of the things that seems to be departing from a lot of Christians is the spirit of power and love and a sound mind.
Yeah.
And they're given into this spirit of fear. So
sure. Looks like we have a caller.
I think it's Mike.
Mike. Hi, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you gentlemen doing?
Doing wonderful. Thanks for calling in today.
Yes, that's it. Yeah, thank you. What I wanted to basically say, because I know you guys touched a lot of points that I wanted to grab on. I said the biggest thing when I'm looking at as far as the election, you heard it from me, Trump's going to win it hands down. Now, as far as this coronavirus is going, this is one of the biggest lies played on us since possibly them putting Barack Obama into the White House. I've studied on this stuff very carefully.
Uh-huh.
The coronavirus was a virus developed in Wuhan, China.
Right,
and
right.
From this point on, most people don't get it because most people out here are playing on the level of ignorance. They haven't risen to the level of smartness or intelligentsia. The problem is, they did this to destroy a decent, godly man. Trump is not perfect. He just happens to be a decent person who believes in God and is full of flaws and mistakes like you and me and everybody mm-hmm. else. The only person that is perfect and whom I want to see and got watermarks under his feet, and that's the Lord God Almighty himself, that's Jesus Christ. And as far as I am concerned, all of this stuff, that what they're doing right now, as far as Fauci, as far as Burks, mm-hmm. Linda and Bill Gates Foundation, all of these people's going to have some very big dividends in a little while because they're going to stand before God, and God's going to ask the question, you did this, you murdered a lot of people in the process. We're dealing with murderers, we're dealing with liars, we're dealing with evildoers to the highest degree, and they'll do anything. I think they would even take their own parents out if it just meant that they would get power and lead all kinds of destruction,
yeah.
Not only to the United States, but to this entire world. So I'm going to leave that tidbit with you. I want you guys to chew on that.
Yeah, Mike, before you go, let me ask you a question. I think he's gone already. So I was going to ask Mike if he felt like, I don't know if he's a church-going guy, but I'm curious if that's the sentiment that others share that he identifies with or you know, gathers with. Because that's really what I want to see is, you know, we understand there's two different realities that are going on. I mean, it's never been clear, at least in my life, the starkness between these guys are in two total different directions. And I think we talked about before, Al, was, you know, I know I voted conservative, you know, Mitt Romney, John McCain. Mm-hmm. And as I look back, those were really real votes for, I don't want President Obama. You know, when you really look back.
You're voting against somebody you're voting rather against than for, yes.
And that's because there were so many similarities to the candidates. There was nothing to get excited about for those candidates. Maybe initially there was, but then as you begin to learn, you're like, wait a minute. They're so paralleled. Maybe they're not as far left as what President Obama was, but they're all heading in the same direction. And they're willing to count, well, we got to give a little here. Well, with Trump, it's like, we're not going to give anything over here. This is mm-hmm. what we're going to do. This is what's right. And so it's polarized. Well, it hasn't polarized. The truth is what divides people. Mm-hmm. And I said this a couple of weeks ago on our show was, you know, the devil uses lies to divide for the purpose of destruction, because the devil loves this. He is destroying a nation, destroying homes, destroying families. I mean, Thanksgiving and Christmas are going to be a mess this year for people. I mean, they're not going to invite certain people just because they voted for Trump. But what does God use? God uses light mm-hmm. to divide for the purpose of preservation. And so all of the world's coming up against, not all the world, but all of our country, all those, so much coming up in the media and everybody coming up against Trump. Because he's going in a totally different direction. But look at the excitement the American people are like. That's the direction we want to go. Right. We've got somebody that's going to take us there now. Now, and I'm so encouraged because, again, I mentioned before, Mount Carmel, I keep going back to that experience. And, you know, God's going to reveal himself. And that's the one equation that we don't really hear spoken about, Brother Al, of course, in many of these commentators, is what's God going to do? What God can frustrate everything. He has them in derision. So everything looks this direction, looks this way, but God's going to show up just like he did last time, and he's going to do what he wants to do, mm-hmm. and he is the one that our trust is in. So if for some reason you say, oh, well, Joe Biden stole the election, well, Trump's going to get blamed for stealing the election too, but if Biden says, oh, I stole the election, well, then what does the Bible say? Be not envious of evil men. Fret not when evildoers prosper. Why? Because they have no reward. Ultimately, you come back to the spiritual side and say, there's a spiritual battle that's going on that's so much greater than we're even involved with here.
Oh, absolutely. You know? And I wanted to touch on something that our caller Mike pointed out. He very clearly pointed out the spiritual battle that we're involved in. And if God's people do not take sides, you remember our good friend Bruce Musselman is with the Lord now. He used to like to talk about that passage, said that they're all dumb dogs. And dumb doesn't mean unintelligent. It means they can't bark. They're silent. Dumb is the old term for unable to speak.
Yeah.
And that was because the pastors were not giving warning. We're not giving the spiritual advice that God sent them there to give. And I'm afraid we're in that time today when we have pastors who are not standing up for the lives of the unborn children, who are not standing up on the side of what is good and what is right, and they're giving over to mammon and what the government and the world has to offer them in terms of money and prestige.
Yeah, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that. We'll talk some more about evangelicals for Biden and some other things that are coming up. Thank you so much for joining us. I hope you'll stay tuned. We're going to take a little break here, and then we're going to come back on Pastor Al's show. And we're going to pick back up where we left off and finish up with your broadcast. So we'll be back with you here in a few moments.
Well, and thanks for letting me be on with you today. So I think we still got a couple of seconds yet to go there. So, but we will be back. Stay tuned for the second half of our program looking at the election.
You have been listening to For the Cause of Christ with Pastor John Lutz from the North Coast Baptist Church in Lakewood. Pastor Lutz and the congregation would like to extend a cordial invitation for you to join them at any of their services. Sunday morning worship is at 11, the Sunday evening service is at 6, and the Wednesday Bible study is at 7 p.m. North Coast Baptist Church is located at 2051 Quail Street in Lakewood. For directions or more information, please call 216-521-3800. That's 216-521-3800. Or send an email to northcoastbaptist@sbcglobal.net. That's northcoastbaptist@sbcglobal.net. Thank you for listening. This program has been sponsored by the North Coast Baptist Church of Lakewood, Ohio.